Nashtapayesha Padeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtaki. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, verses 24, maybe until 27. We'll see how far we get. So verse 24. Vishan Mahagne Purusharadarshanat Asat Sabaya Vanavasakichata Ride Mide Neka Mahalatastrata Janyas Chatas Jas Mahare Pirakshita. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langhayate girim yat kipam tamam vande shi gurum dinatarinam om agyana timrandasya gananchara shalakaya chakshura militam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So we heard the last few days all about Krishna, how he is the Supreme Lord, all his names, about his form. What was Krishna's form compared to? Which plant? Yeah. Lotus flower, yes. Because the lotus flower is the most beautiful thing in this world. So we heard about how to meditate on his form, and now we heard a little bit about his activities yesterday, how he protected Devaki. And today we're going to hear a whole list of the things that Krishna protected Kunti Devi and her sons from. First of all, it says here, the house of Lakh. So in Mahabharata it's described that the sons of Dhritarashtra were always envious of the sons of Pandu. So one time they decided that they wanted to invite them to a house and then burn the house down. So they built this wonderful, beautiful house. It was so amazing, but the unfortunate thing was that it was built of all flammable materials. And so they invited them to stay in this house, but Vidura warned them. He said he spoke in the language of the Mlechas, which could be English, French, Spanish, or I don't know what they had 5,000 years ago, or Latin maybe. But he gave a message to Yudhisthira, and he said that Dhritarashtra wants to burn this house down, and you will be the victims. So, in this way, they were saved by Krishna. Actually, Vidura is incarnation of Yamaraj, so everybody's afraid of him. But in this case, he was helping, he was protecting from death. Instead of killing someone, he was protecting. So this is the wonderful relationship that Yamaraj, Vidura, he has with his devotees. The devotees of Krishna, not his devotees, but Krishna's devotees. That he's a cordial friend, and he's always trying to protect the devotees. For everyone else, Yamaraj is the great slayer, the time of death. This is who they will meet. They will meet Krishna in the form of Yamaraj. But for the devotees, he's a great friend. Anybody know any other example how Yamaraj is a friend of a devotee? We see in Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a story of how Yamaraj actually helped one devotee. Ajamila, okay. Yes. Who else? Savitri, yeah, that's Mahabharata, is it? Yeah, that's true. Somebody else. In Bhagavatam, there's another story. Kind of helped. The son of the Brahmin. Oh, yeah, Krishna asked for the son back. Okay, he told where he was. Good. I never thought of that one. That's a good one. And there's another person, it's Dhruva Maharaj, that when he was going to the airplane to go back to Godhead, Yamaraj came and offered him his head as his step to get into the airplane. So this was very nice of Yamaraj. He wanted to get the dust of the devotees' feet also. So it was Yamaraj's desire also. So he helped him get into the airplane to go back to Godhead. Then the next thing that Krishna protected Kunti Devi and the Pandavas, Puishada. Puishada means a man-eating rakshasa cannibal. So nowadays we don't have so many of these around. There are some cannibals, but not the rakshasas so much. At least we don't see them. They're not that common nowadays. But in those days they were very common. And this one village, Ekachakra, which is famous now for another reason, as the birthplace of Lord Nityananda, this village of Ekachakra, the Pandavas were living there incognito in the house of a Brahmin. And every day, somebody from one family from the village had to offer one of their family members as a sacrifice, as lunch for this Rakshasa, along with a cartload of rice. So it came the turn of the Brahmana's family where the Pandavas were living. And Kunti heard them crying and she went and said, "What's wrong?" And they said, "Oh, it's our turn. We have to sacrifice one of ourselves to this Rakshasa." She said, "Oh, don't worry. I've got 5 sons. I'll send one of mine." They said, "No, we can't do that. You're our guest." She said, no, don't worry. He's killed so many Rakshasas. It's nothing for him. It's fun. It's sport." So then, Bhima happened to be there with Kunti that day, and she asked him. Bhima said, "No problem." Then Yudhisthira came home at night. He asked, and he saw Bhima's face, and Bhima looked very grave. And Yudhisthira asked Bhima, "What's going on?" Bhima said, "Oh, I have to go to this Rakshasa." And Yudhisthira was so upset. He said to Kunti, "Why did you do this?" But then Kunti said, "Come on, you know how Bhima is. He's so strong. Don't worry about him." And Yudhisthira, "Yes, okay, it's all right. Just for the sake of this Brahmin is helping us so much, so we should do something for him." So then Bhima went to the place with a cartload of food. And you know Bhima, he's famous for being a very big eater. So he couldn't resist the cartload of food. He had to eat the demon's food first. And the demon got really up. And he was calling the demon, "Come on, here I am." And the demon came running. And he, with all his force, he beat Bhima on the back. And Bhima didn't even look up. And so the Rakshasas got up, was starting to wonder, "Well, what's this?" And then he uprooted a tree. And by that time, Bhima finished his meal, washed his mouth and hands. And then just as he threw the tree, Bhima caught it in his left hand and threw it back. So then they were fighting and fighting. And finally, of course, Bhima defeated the Rakshasa. And I went to visit the village of Ekachakra this summer, and I went nearby, and they had the kneecap of the Vaka demon, and it was this big, very big kneecap, just the kneecap. So huge. Kneecap means this part of the knee. Yeah. So this, like for us it's like this. But for him it was like this. It's there. It's like a fossilized, I guess, or whatever happens to it after 5,000 years. It's like a fossil. It's huge. So this was another thing that they were saved. They were protected by Krishna. Of course, when Krishna came to this earth for his mission of protecting devotees and killing the demons, then much of his work of killing the demons was done through Bhima and Arjuna. Also, they did much of his work, just like Jarasandha was killed by Bhima. And also in the battle of Kukshetra, so many demons were killed by Arjuna and Bhima. So then another thing that happened, Asat Sabhaya, this is the assembly of uncultured men. And Draupadi was trying to be disrobed. And first, I think somebody told the story yesterday, she just raised up one, she was holding on with one hand and she was raising her hand with the other. Then finally she raised both hands, and then Krishna came and protected her and gave her an unlimited amount of sari. So this was another thing, that Krishna personally came and protected them. So Prabhupada said it's better that we depend on Krishna. We shouldn't try to save ourselves. And what can we do? What could she do in that situation? How could she save herself? How could she protect herself? So if we depend on Krishna, then we get so much protection. If we try to protect ourselves, how much is it compared to Krishna's protection? It's very limited. But then we might ask a question. Srila Prabhupada raises a question in the third canto that, You know, why did Krishna just stand there and let these people insult Draupadi? Of course he protected her, but he should have just killed them all at once. Why did he just let this happen? So Srila Prabhupada answers the question. What do you think the answer is? Why did Krishna just let this happen? Yes? For the pastime, okay? Bhagavad Gita, so Bhagavad Gita would happen. So battle of Kurukshetra would happen. Yes? To glorify his devotees, yes? What else? To allow her to fully surrender? Okay, that's a good reason. Just like why he begged the land from Bali Maharaj. Because otherwise he wouldn't have surrendered. If Vamana hadn't taken everything away from him, then he would still be king of heaven. Why should he surrender as king of heaven? He didn't need to surrender. You have all this opulence, and this we'll get to also. You have so much opulence, then you don't feel like surrendering. You're completely happy and satisfied. So what is the need to surrender to Krishna? Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, he gave the answer that the reason why he tolerated this insult was that he had a lot of work to do. There were so many demoniac kings on the earth, and Krishna wanted to make a shortcut in his killing business. So he waited until the battle of Kurukshetra and got them together all in one place so he wouldn't have to waste time going here and there and everywhere. So that's why he tolerated. And also it is said that one of the reasons why this battle took place was because Draupadi was insulted. It was one of the reasons why. In fact, when she was born, it was predicted at her birth that this child, this Draupadi, she will be the cause of the death of many, many Kshatriyas. So it was because of her, because she was insulted. Then another thing, Vanavasa Krichata means exile in the forest. They played a game of dice, Yudhisthira lost. And this meant that they had to go 12 years in the forest and 1 year incognito. And if they were recognized, then again they had to go 12 years to the forest. And if they made it through that 13 years, they were supposed to get back half the kingdom. But of course, we know the history. They came back, they made it through, they came back, they asked for their kingdom. And Duryodhan said, I won't give you even a piece of land which can fit through the eye of a needle. So war had to take place. And that was the next thing that Krishna protected them from, was the battlefield. There were so many great generals, Bhishma, Drona. Arjuna was nothing compared to these people. He was just, you couldn't even compare Arjuna to Bhishma. But still, he won. He conquered. He won the battle of Kurukshetra. So this was only because Krishna was there. So Prabhupada gives us a moral to the story, that we may have many enemies who are more powerful than us, but if we remain under Krishna's protection, no one can touch us. So actually we see in the history of ISKCON that there were many powerful demons that tried to stop Srila Prabhupada in his mission. Like in Bombay, I remember, I wasn't there, but the devotees had built a small temple for the deities there. It was just like, when I arrived in India in 1972, it was just a hut. The deities, not even a hut, the deities were just like in some kind of a shelter, a tent. It would be more appropriate to call it a tent. And even the deities weren't covered when I was there. Like it was raining, and it was raining on the deities. And I remember Hari Kesh, he put his raincoat on top of the deities so they wouldn't get wet. It was so austere. And the devotees were living like that too. The men were in a hut, which was indescribable. It was the prasadam room, the kitchen, the brahmachari room, the everything in one hut. And the ladies were up on top of a roof of a building. We didn't have any room over our heads, any roof over our heads. We were just living up there in the summer. It was summer. I came in May. It was very hot. But anyway, that was how it was in 1972. So it was very, very austere. And besides that, then I was sent to Calcutta, which wasn't so bad. I mean, not much water or electricity, but at least we had a roof over our heads. So I was happy about that. But in Bombay, it was very austere. And then in 1973, they attacked the temple. And they were trying to demolish the temple. And they put all the devotees in jail. And one of the pujaris, she was my god sister, they were dragging her by the hair into the police van. She was very big, actually. And so she was trying to protect the deities. Her name, Maithili. She was trying to protect the deities, but she couldn't. They took her away. And so then, these are the fights that were going on in ISKCON, in Bombay especially. There was a big fight. And Srila Prabhupada, in 1974, he came and sat in Bombay and just spoke Srimad Bhagavatam constantly. Every day he would speak on Kapila Dev's instructions. So that's where we get these teachings of Lord Kapila. That he said he would sit there until we got the temple. He wouldn't move from Bombay. So we saw that Prabhupada's response in this time of danger was that he was right there with the devotees. And he was very concerned. So there was another thing in New York. The deprogrammers were fighting against the devotees in 1976. And one devotee especially, the president of New York Temple, was at risk. And he was defending ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada was telling him what to say. He said, you get our books, you take all of our books and put them as evidence in front of the judge that we are not a cult, we are a bona fide religion. So he did that. He preached from our books, and the devotees, again, they won the case. So there's a Bengali saying, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. That if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can protect you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. So there's a story. One Maharaj was telling this story about one of his disciples. His disciple is a taxi driver in New York. So one time he was in his taxi, and the taxi driver was driving, and then the Maharaj, he saw there's a huge hole in his windshield in front. He said, what happened? What happened here in your car? What happened to your car? So the taxi driver said, oh, one day this man came out with a big gun, and he pointed it at me. And I said to him, if Krishna wants to kill me, he'll kill me. And if Krishna wants to protect me, then he'll protect me. And then he shot and he missed. So actually, this is the faith of the devotees. This is the faith of Kunti. We can see that even the demigods, they cannot protect if Krishna wants to kill someone. And this was the case of Ravana. Ravana was a big, big devotee of Lord Shiva. And he was worshipping Lord Shiva when Lord Ramachandra was going to kill him. He was worshipping Shiva. And Shiva wasn't going to protect him. So Parvati was saying, what's wrong? He's your great devotee. He did so much service for you. Why don't you go and protect him? Shiva said, what can I do? It's Ram. I have no power. So therefore, we should take shelter of Krishna. And then we get proper protection. And actually, everyone needs protection in this world. Yeah. Actually, I believe that Prabhupada had said this in a lecture. I don't have the exact quote here, I don't think. But it's... Oh, the scripture, I don't know. Ramayana. Maybe Ramayana, yeah. I'm not sure, actually, if it's in Ramayana or not. I'm not that clear on the details. But it is in the Ramayana that he was a devotee of Shiva. But Prabhupada told this, actually, when in a lecture, that he was speaking in a lecture and he gave this story. I don't have the exact reference here. I would have to look that up. But where it is in scripture, it would probably would be in Ramayana.
Or Ramcharitamanas.
Ramcharitamanas, okay. So it would be there. So we can see that Arjuna also, he needed protection, although he was the most powerful man in the world. He was the most powerful archer. No one could defeat Arjuna. He needed protection from Krishna. We know at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, then Krishna told Arjuna, you get down from the chariot first. So then Arjuna got down from his chariot, and then Krishna got down, and then the whole chariot burst into flames. Because it had been finished many, many times in the battle. So therefore, unless we have Krishna's protection, then we cannot live, actually. And Prabhupada explains that if we want full protection from Krishna, then there's a condition. And that condition is stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And that there is a verse, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. You give up everything and surrender to me, and I will protect you. So Srila Prabhupada, he translated that verse many, many different ways. And one of the ways he translated that verse, in this particular instance, Srila Prabhupada said, give up your own manufactured, concocted means of protection. and surrender to me. So instead of giving up varieties of religion, give up your... we have our means of protecting ourselves. So he's saying, just forget about it. Krishna can protect you much better than you yourself can. So this is the point that they're making here. And we should always, of course, now I think nobody is thinking that we're not in danger. In the way the world situation is, everybody must be thinking that we are in danger. At any moment, there may be war here or anywhere. So, but Prabhupada said, don't think this material existence is comfortable at any moment. And if you think like this, you won't be able to progress in spiritual life. As soon as you think, okay, now I've got it all solved, that my situation's perfect, then you're fallen, Prabhupada said. You're not, you can't think like that. So let's go to the next verse, verse 25. We'll see what Kunti's reaction to all this was. Did you have a question?
Question.
Mm-hmm. This is a good time.
Also quotes the proverb, help yourself and then God will
help. That's right, that's right.
So in which
Yes. Help yourself. So her question is that there is a proverb that man helps those who help themselves. Right? Something like that. Yeah. So the point is that two things are required in spiritual life. There is endeavor is required and the mercy of the Lord. So we must endeavor by all means. And we'll see that the Pandavas, they weren't just sitting there waiting for Krishna to protect them. They were endeavoring. They had to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna was thinking at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, no, I'm not going to fight. You do it, Krishna. You're my friend. You're all powerful. Better you fight. No, it's not like that. We have to fight our battles, but then for the result, we depend on Krishna. Yeah. Fighting. Yes. Yes, that's right. In terms of war. Well, it depends who you are. If you're a Kshatriya, then you still have to fight. When the war comes, there still has to be Kshatriyas and Brahmins and Vaishyas and Shudras. Now, if you're a Brahmin, of course, you will fight in the manner. And everybody now, if there's time of peace, then we don't fight. We don't. We follow the method of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in times of war, then the Kshatriyas have to protect the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas and the society. There has to be Kshatriyas. Otherwise, we just sit there and chant. Of course, that's the best thing to do for devotees and brahmanas. And that's what Prabhupada instructed us to do, that we should simply chant, don't worry about the war. We shouldn't try to learn how to be a gunman or something like that. But leave it to the people who are already trained in that way. But we should preach to them and make them Krishna conscious. Those who are already kshatriyas, those who are already vaishyas, then the duty of the Vaishnava and the brahmana is to preach to them so that they'll act in a God-conscious way. But not that we ourselves should take up arms and defend. So this was the general principle that's followed. In emergencies, something else may happen. But the general principle is that we don't take up weapons ourselves. But we depend on the Kshatriyas. Even there was a Brahmin, Vishvamitra, and he was a Kshatriya first, then he became a Brahmin. And once he became a Brahmin, when somebody would attack him, then he would go to the Kshatriyas, just like there was some demon attacking Vishvamitra. So he went to Dasharath, and he asked, please give me Ram. There's this big demon attacking my ashram, and I can't do anything. Of course, he could, but it was the duty of the Kshatriyas to do that sort of work. It wasn't the duty of the Brahmins to kill and to fight. So then he said, please give me Ram, give me your son so that he can kill this demon for me. And of course, in times of peace, and if there is no war threatening us, then we must always follow the path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the path of Kali Yuga. Because everyone's a demon, so you can't just kill the whole world. And we were also demons before we were devotees. So where would we be if that attitude was there? Everyone has this demonic mentality. So we don't want to kill the person. We want to kill the demoniac mentality. And that is the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his weapons were the holy name, his associates. And that's also what we should do as Vaishnavas. But of course, we should remember that a Vaishnava is also a Kshatriya. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and he fought. He fought. Arjuna's Hanuman fought. So not all Vaishnavas are peaceful. If the war comes and they fight, some of them. Now we don't have that system. We don't have Vaishnavas who are Kshatriyas. So we have to preach to the Kshatriyas who are already there and make them Vaishnavas. So we'll go to verse 25. And this is Kunti's reaction. You say, why do devotees suffer? Well, the good question is, why is Kunti asking for more suffering? This is what she's going to do right now. And nobody in this world prays like this, except Kunti. So let's see. Viparasantuta shashvat. Tatatata jagakuro. Bhavata darshanam yatsyat. Apunar bhava darshanam. Okay, one person. Vipatata shashvat. Tatatata jagakuro. Bhavata darshanam yatsyat. Apurnabhavadarshanam. One more person. Vipadutashashva. Tatatata jagakuro. Bhavata darshanam yatsyam. Apurnabhavadarshanam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we can see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So just see the difference between Kunti and now everybody's in so much paranoia. They don't want these things to happen again and again. But she's praying again and again and let me have more. Give me more danger. So I can see you. Because every time she was in danger, Krishna would come. And she would see Krishna. So she was very happy about that. So now, they got their kingdom. They got all their riches. They won the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna's saying goodbye. So she says, no, don't go. Better you stay here and we have danger. Then we have all this opulence and now you're leaving us. So what's the use of all this opulence? I'd rather have the danger. I'd rather have trouble. Always. So this is a devotee. She says, because if I see you, then apunar bhava darshanam, I won't see this birth and death again. Now I am experiencing birth and death so much. So I don't want to see this again. Prabhupada gives the example that you might have a dangerous boil. People who live in India, they get boils. So boil is really horrible. It's very, very painful. And there are so many means. Devotees always tell you, put potatoes on it, do this, do that. But sometimes it just gets out of hand. There's nothing you can do. And therefore you have to have an operation. So this operation certainly is very troublesome. But to get rid of the boil, you have to do it. So this is, Srila Prabhupada said, this is just like Kunti. Kunti wants to have the trouble of these dangers just so she can get freed from this horrible material existence and go back to Godhead. So sometimes it's required that this type of purification. So Kunti, she is responding in this way. Should we also pray like this? Anybody here like to pray like Kunti? No. You already have it. You don't have it. That's good. We have so many problems, we don't want to pray for more, do we? But you have no problems, that's very good, I'm happy for you.
No, I mean, I have the qualification to ask about...
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. If we, I mean, I have a god sister who did pray like this, and she got it. And she wondered why she was suffering. I said, don't you remember you prayed, remember what you prayed? She said, oh, why did I say that? So yes. Yes, or what we desired, or what we did.
But even in a positive consciousness in our life.
That's right.
He's taking away or his difficulty is inauspicious.
Yeah, he's taking away the bad things.
Right. Somehow we have to see that that's an auspicious, more auspicious.
Right. So this is my next question, that how should we understand this, how to respond? You know, danger, or the word could be suffering, it could be misery, that word could be up there. So how to respond, would you like to write again? So how can we put yours in a nutshell, how to respond? Is that what we could have prayed for renunciation, according to, we could have prayed for this, in our past life, our prayer, by prayer, we could have gotten this, or by desire. Okay, past desire. Because of past desire, not how to respond, but how to understand, why is this happening to me? Because of our past desire. Okay, any other way to understand this, that why things happen like this, or how to respond also? There is one way that, yes. Good. Krishna is putting us into difficulties, so we learn lessons from it.
We should not complain.
Okay. That's another thing you can put separately. Don't complain. Yes? Okay. Okay, test us to make us depend on Him more. Make us more dependent. Yes. Okay, yes? To show us how miserable place this is, so we don't like to stay here. It's a very good one. That's one way to get the people to go back to Godhead. It's just the negative. And also to remain devotees. Yes. Okay, here, karma. Karma, because of karma. Yes. Because what? How to respond, okay. Okay, so what to do? Take shelter of the Vaishnavas. So some of this is kind of mixed up. It's reasons why it's happening and also what to do. So we have this. One is depend on Him more. One is take shelter of the Vaishnavas. And some, yes. Improving our, oh yes, yes. Okay, that's like learning lessons. Correcting our mistakes. Correcting mistakes, yes. Okay, so we become more detached from the body, less identification with the body. Okay? So these are good results of danger if we respond, if we see it this way. We can see it like this. We can see, oh, this is helping me become detached. This is, or we respond, okay, I better take shelter of the Vaishnavas now, I'm in danger. Or else we say, well, it's just my karma. I deserve it. And even one step further, devotee says, Krishna is minimizing my karma. I should have gotten much more. But now he's just giving me a little bit because I'm a Vaishnava. Yes, Rukmavati?
Some of the tools for responding, like prayer.
Prayer.
And introspection.
Okay, prayer is one way to respond. So we've got here understandings, which is part of the response, is you have to understand what's happening. If you understand what's happening, then you can respond in a proper way, when danger comes, when suffering comes, when sickness, disease, may not be such a great danger. You just might get really sick and you're not able to function properly, or you might, old age strikes and then you're permanently dysfunctional. You're permanently unable to function. So how can you live with that? You know, you go your whole life, you go along just, you know, normally doing everything you want to do, and then old age hits. And your body doesn't. You're the same person. You still have the same desires. You still want to do a lot of service for Krishna, but your body doesn't cooperate. You can't do it. So what do? You have to change your service for sure. Chanting and hearing, or something less active.
And you're understanding what service means.
Yes.
We have so much of it in the context of
physical service. Yes.
There's a whole realm beyond that Krishna.
That's right. Right, that service doesn't just mean physical. And it, okay, so changing your service also.
Your
If you, or your attitude towards service. Change your attitude towards service. This is a response you can take. And you're forced to take it, actually. Yes? Okay. So gratefully search for Krishna's love. It's a very nice response to take. Come, Hare Krishna. Gratefully search for Krishna's love. We're discussing here how to respond when danger or suffering hits us. How to respond to it or how to see it also. Yes.
Thank Krishna.
Thank Krishna. Yeah. How many of us thank Krishna for a chance to what? To remember him, right. Yes, chance to remember him. This is what Kunti is doing. This is her whole point here, is that when she's in trouble, she remembers Krishna. And that's true for a lot of devotees. If you're put into danger, then it's you, oh, Krishna, Krishna, help. You know, when you're peacefully going along in your day, there's not such an urgency to your call for Krishna. It's not, okay, you're there, I know you're there, and I'm here, and I'm doing my service, and no problem. So, but of course, Vrindavan, you never feel like it. There's always some problem. You always remember that you're never in control. You can't be in control here. There's only one controller and one enjoyer in Vrindavan, and that's Krishna. And if you don't believe it, then you'll find out soon. The hard way, if you don't accept it. Yes, anything else here on danger? How to see this? How to respond? How to see danger? Yes. Yeah, it will. That's right. Just like Arjuna, Krishna didn't expect him to go and sit in the forest and chant when the danger came. He wanted him to fight. Now, if Arjuna took the position of a brahmana, that was actually what he wanted to do. Let me go to the forest, live by begging. I'm just going to sit there and chant and meditate and all this thing. But no, Krishna said, you have to fight. That's your nature. So generally speaking, we follow our nature in these emergency situations. Right. And then it helps, as I think you suggested, to take shelter of Vaishnavas. This is very important. Taking shelter of Vaishnavas, they can guide you how to act. Not to act rashly. Okay, thank you. So we'll go on. So, Prabhupada, at the end of the purport, he says something about calamities. And I believe this is the very end of the purport. Yes. It's a few sentences before the end. Srila Prabhupada says, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. So Prabhupada recommends devotional service. Contact Krishna somehow or other. When you're in danger, you have to contact Krishna somehow. And there's 9 different ways to do it. And if you can't be active, you can pray, you can remember. These are things that you can do. So Prabhupada said, if you're in a dangerous position and you think, oh, now I can remember Krishna, so this is very good. This is welcome. So I'll ask my writer to come back one more time. We're going to have another discussion. And this is a bit different because this is very important for this time right now. That there is people, especially in America, they perceive danger. They're very paranoid. And they're seeing that there is a great danger. How do we preach to these people? How do we tell them? What do we tell them? What would we say to these people in America now? Now they're actually, I heard Indradumna Maharaj, he was walking through the airport in New York and people were coming up to him, begging him to help them, to give advice. They recognized him as a spiritual leader. And he started talking and he had a whole crowd coming. That people are very anxious to know what to do, how to respond. Yes? Diary, uh-huh.
That, when he went to Los Angeles, San Diego.
Wow. Whoa. Okay, did you hear that story? I should tell it on the microphone, so then we get it on the tape. That Indradum Maharaj was in America. He landed in San Diego. And his son picked him up, and they went out and they bought some vegetables at a store. And his son went... he bought a whole bunch of vegetables, $120 worth. Maharaj was pacing back and forth, chanting Hare Krishna. And then when his son went to pay, then the person said, no, no, you don't pay. It's a gift for that man. We need more men like him. So this, now the devotees, it's a very good opportunity to preach. So the question is, what do we say? Now we've had this big disaster in America, and now they're sending biological gene, whatever it is, through the mail to different people. So it's escalating. It's the next thing they're doing. Some anthrax. It's a thing called, I don't know, some kind of disease. And very bad, you die from it. And they're sending it in, they're mailing it to different people in America. You open the letter and here's the disease. So people in America are very concerned about these dangers. Yeah, recently. It's evidently it's not such a big thing.
It's more isolated,
yeah. Not so many people are affected.
About 20 more yesterday.
20, okay. So it's got the number has gone up to about 30. 30 people have gotten, and big people. Like they're mailing it to the media, NBC and the newspaper people, and they're attacking the media, especially. The bombs, airplane.
Second was the biological,
biological warfare. Chemical warfare, that's number three. So here we are. We're in America and these things are happening. So I just heard Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was in Europe. He was supposed to come to Vrindavan. Instead, he changed his plans and went back to America because he said, this is the perfect time to preach now. So what do you say? What do we say to these people? They're completely in anxiety. They don't know what to do, and they have no idea. So what do we say? Yes. Okay, first, number one, God exists, and you're not this body. Okay, yes, well, same thing you would say? Yes? You're just scratching your head, okay? Yes. Okay, take shelter of the holy name in association of devotees, yes? God is your friend. He's not your enemy. Yes?
God is the Father of all living entities.
Okay. That's very nice to understand because the other side is taking it as a holy war. So God is the Father of all living entities. That we should understand. Therefore, we're all brothers. Yes? Did you have something?
There's danger at every step.
Good. Danger at every step. Padam, padam. Yes, so you have to take shelter of someone who can get you out of this danger. Yes, more dependable than our own. Permanent solution we need to this problem. Everybody's giving temporary solutions, but it won't work. We need a permanent solution now because this problem keeps coming back. Yes.
It's a very good time to
Good. Okay, we should follow the inner urge for religion, not the other inner urges. And some people, a lot of people are following the other ones. I don't know who is telling me that somebody went to Bermuda. I don't know if it was in this class. And somebody's sister went to Bermuda. And in Bermuda, the reaction was everybody went to church. They're all Catholic there. And then the same person went back to America and she saw everybody was angry and confused and bewildered. And so this is, if you're pious, then you turn to God in these times. Just like I remember quite a few years ago, there were some astronauts up in space, and the president said, okay, now we should pray, because they were in danger. Now we should pray. He should go back to his Bible reading. Oh, he's going to. Acha. Okay. Anything else? What can we say to these people? Now they're really in trouble. Yes. What's that? There's only one shelter. Okay, and that is Krishna or God. Yes. Okay. Kirtan. We should have kirtan. Yes. That's really fair. Yes. So there should be Harinam. And I think this was the response by the devotees in New York, that they started Harinam parties every day. And not just wild, crazy dancing, but I think very prayerful. You know, according to the mood. You know, they were very careful. Yes? Sri Prasadam. Yeah, that changes your mind. Yes. Book distribution. Okay, these. Yes, and I heard this also, that Brahmananda was telling me that there's a run in the religious bookshops. And here also in Vrindavan, we have our book distributor, Radhakund Dasi. She's out in front there every day distributing books. She said the day that the bombing, everybody was rushing to buy the books. Her sales shot up. And people were asking, what's that mala you have? What's the mala? What's the mantra? You know, they're like really interested, much more. Yeah. Yes. Devotees are afraid, you're saying?
Yes.
Is your mother a devotee?
Yeah, yeah. So
oh.
What
do you say to your mother who's flipping out because you're here and she's a devotee? Okay, that's a real challenge.
In Vrindavan.
New Vrindavan.
So I'm just wondering, like, what do you say?
Yeah, okay. What do you say to devotees?
They cancel trips. Yeah.
That's true. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. He's here. Yeah, yeah. What do you mean when the devotees wear a fright? No, it's just it's not. It's different. Yeah. Yeah, they'll kill you. They won't even ask questions. Yeah. Yeah, so this is, we have to know how to act and preach in these times. And Prabhupada, when he was in Tehran, he was preaching like that they can chant the name of Allah. And this will be acceptable. Yeah, they'll kill, yeah, you won't get to preach long. Have a long life of preaching for Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on here. So the Pandavas are always in danger. And so much so that when Bhishma was on his deathbed, you know what Bhishma's deathbed was? Was it very soft cushions? Arrows. He had the deathbed of a Kshatriya. All Kshatriyas would like to have this kind of bed to die on. That was their desire. This is the way a Kshatriya dies, on a bed of arrows. So Bhishma was on his deathbed, and the Pandavas went to see him, and he was crying. And he was not crying for his pain or the fact that he was dying. He was crying for the Pandavas. He said, you Pandavas, you suffered so much. I don't understand. Yudhisthira, he's personified religion. Arjuna is the best archer in the world. Bhima is the strongest man in the world. And Draupadi, she's like the goddess of fortune. And above all, Krishna is your friend. But still you're suffering so much in your life. And so I just don't understand the plan of Krishna, that he makes his devotees suffer like this. So Bhishma was really wondering. So we should not think ourselves, oh, now I'm a devotee, there won't be any danger, there won't be any suffering, I'll never get sick. It's not like that. It's not like that. So there's a nice purport I'll read to you, and this explains how devotees, another way that devotees see suffering. Oh, you went over there. I thought you were here. Okay. Because you asked this question yesterday, why devotees suffer. So here in the 10th canto, 88th chapter, there's a very nice verse. It says, devotees of the Lord do not regard as very troublesome the suffering he imposes on them. Indeed, they find in the end it gives rise to unlimited pleasure, just as a stinging ointment applied by a doctor cures his patient's eye. So sometimes we get medicine and it stings, but then we get cured from the disease. So in the same way, sometimes Krishna gives us suffering to purify us. And it stings, it's not very pleasant, and we may not appreciate it at the moment when it's happening, but actually it's for the best thing, to cure us from this material disease. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is a very beautiful, poetic explanation of this. He says, it is at night that the sunrise becomes attractive. After a long night, then you see the sunrise, it's very beautiful. It is during hot summer that cold water gives comfort. It is during cold winter that warm water is very pleasing. And he said, in the darkness, lamplight is very attractive. You see a light. It's very beautiful at night. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. So, to strengthen the devotee's mood of dependence on him and longing for him, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering, and when Krishna appears to deliver them, their gratitude and transcendental pleasure are boundless. So when we're in some dangerous situation or we're in some suffering and Krishna comes, we feel the presence of Krishna, and then we think, okay, it doesn't matter. At least I have Krishna. At least Krishna's with me. So we see Srila Prabhupada, he was a perfect example of tolerance. In India, first he tried to preach here. Nobody would help him. He went on the boat, two heart attacks. And then he got to America, 1 year. Nobody was following him. Then he had this Bombay problem. And he was over 70 years old. I mean, even I'm finding it difficult being over 50 and trying to preach. And he was over 70 and he went around the world 14 times. So one time in New York, 1976, he was very, very sick. And he had the flu, he had a fever, and he was about to get on the airplane to go to London. So he was in the elevator. New York temple was so many stories high, I don't know because I never saw it, but many, many stories high. And he was coming down in the elevator. And many of his leading devotees, GBCs, were trying to tell Prabhupada, no, no, don't go. You stay here, you relax, you get over this flu, then you go. You stay here a couple of months, get your health back. But Prabhupada, his reply was, I simply want the benediction, like Arjuna, to fight for Krishna until the last breath. So this was Prabhupada. He didn't care for all these things, his suffering. And we see that at the end of his life also, he was translating up until his last breath. You see the pictures, if you see the video, and you see he's lying on his bed. He can't move. He's all like a skeleton, pretty much. And devotees are holding the microphone up to his mouth. And one of them has the book and he's reading the Sanskrit. This last chapter, chapter 13 of 10th Canto, this was done in this way. Prabhupada was lying down on his deathbed. And he was translating and he was preaching up to the last breath. So this is what it means to tolerate as a devotee, tolerate suffering and still go on with your service. So, anybody have any questions? Yes. They may develop what? Oblivious. Not always. Either they can go one way or the other. If you're hysterical, just imagine like if you're in a theater that's burning or an auditorium, you're just thinking, okay, where's the exit? You don't care about the other people. So they can either become self-sacrificing or else they can become sacrificing others. It could be one way or the other, depending on if you're pious or impious. So that's why you need the devotees. You need people there to calm people and to direct people and to tell them, no, don't give up hope. There is a way. There is something you can do. It's not hopeless. It's not, you know, you don't become so fearful. To calm the people down, you need the devotees. You need the devotees. You need somebody there that's not afraid, that can actually function in such a situation. And so this is like what we've been preparing for our whole lives in Krishna consciousness, that we're able to live in such a situation and preach and help these people to overcome their fears. So I would think that for the devotees it should happen like that, that you become more self-sacrificing, that you rise to the occasion, and you're able to actually show them what it means to be a devotee. That actually devotees can actually help people in this situation. And it's very fearful because the threat is from within, it's not from without. It's not like, you know, if there were just some planes coming from outside and bombing, then of course you can see. But here it's the post office, the American planes themselves, using the American things against them. So it's very fearful. What next? What next? Who knows? The bus, the taxi. What else can happen? So we have to preach and show them that there is another life and there's another way to live this life. There is a proper way to live. Good time to be devotees as far as preaching goes. Maybe also dangerous time, yes. Yeah, devotees are afraid to appear as devotees in public. But Imtadumna Maharaj is showing that actually people want the devotees now. They're looking for help. Yes. Okay, we can preach to them. That's another thing to say, is that the golden age is coming. And if we actually take up this movement of Lord Chaitanya, then we can avoid all these. And Prabhupada did say that. We can avoid all these wars if we take up this movement. And he also said that history will show that this Krishna consciousness movement has saved the world in its darkest hours. So it's beginning now that the history will show. Now the darkest hours are beginning. And so now we have to be a part of that history. It's our choice if we want to make history. Yes. Yeah. So we have to work together. And of course, the only permanent solution is a spiritual, because otherwise you can do something material for somebody, but it won't last. It's temporary. It goes, you feed somebody, or even psychology, it has a temporary effect. But spiritual has a potency to change a person's heart. And then you won't be afraid again. The spiritual energy, the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantras, prasadam, as they're saying, books distribution. If we give this to the people, then they have something permanent. And even if they have to die, then they'll be ready. They'll be able to face death. They'll be able without fear. This is, I think, if anybody was in Gita class yesterday, he was talking about death. Such a problem death is. And how we're preparing for death. That's one way of seeing. That actually death is the final examination of everything we're doing. It will be the final. Now we're having small tests or quizzes during this life. And the final exam will be a death. Pass or fail. Or you may get come back again. You might have to do the class again one more time or two more times. Go through the... No, you're not coming back. Okay. Good. We don't want to come back, especially in Kali Yuga. We don't want to do this high school again or whatever it is, this class. We want to finish this time and go back, yes. Yes, we must do this life. Prabhupada was always telling us, finish in this life. He was telling us that. And we believed him. Okay, we're going to finish in this life. No more births. And that's what Kunti's saying. She says, I'm finishing now. No more births and deaths. I'm seeing Krishna. That means no more birth and death. So we're seeing Krishna also. It means no more birth and death. But then we have to accept that. We have to accept, okay, this is my shelter. Krishna is my shelter. Don't look other places. Of course, now, the world is falling apart, so there won't be any other shelter. So it will be easier for us. We won't find any other shelter. They're all dissolving. It's like, oh, did we ever answer your question about what to say to devotees? No. Okay. Wait. Oh, time's up. Okay, we'll try again tomorrow. You remind me. We didn't answer a question. What to say to her mother who's worried about her? Devotees in general. Okay, that's a very good question. You remind me tomorrow, and we'll take it up again. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please read 26 through 29. 26 through 70, yeah. maybe 30, 26 through 30. We'll try.